The message is titled Lessons from Mordecai. Lessons from Mordecai. And so I only want to look at three lessons that Mordecai would teach us. And everyone's familiar with the book of Esther. And Mordecai is a cousin of Esther. Esther is the woman who became queen, the young lady who became queen after Vashti was put out of office, and she became queen because there was a Mordecai in her life. And if you remember the story, you remember this, that Esther was fatherless and motherless. She lost her parents. And were it not for Mordecai, there might not have been an Esther. And so what I want to just look at three things that Mordecai did that affected her life. Because essentially what he was to her was an adoptive father. He was a father figure in her life. In Esther chapter 2, starting verse 5, it reads, "In Shushan the palace, or the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." Oh, my Dabosha. Oh, my God. Huh? Here's a man. The Bible tells us nothing about if Mordecai had a wife or if he had children. As far as we know, Mordecai is a single man. He's a single now. Some people bless singleness. Other people decry singleness. But Mordecai was a single man, and yet he took her as his own daughter. My God. We can't get some fathers to take their own children as their own. But Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Now, that's amazing to me, because what does Mordecai have to gain? You have to be responsible. It takes time. It takes resources. You have to give of yourself emotionally, because you're raising a young lady now. You're not raising a boy. You're raising a young lady. Hello? And so let me give you a little bit of background, because I was not aware of this as long as I've been reading the book of Esther. But this one commentary says, or Bible encyclopedia, that for nearly 60 years before the scenes narrated in Esther, in which Mordecai was greatly concerned, took place, the way to Palestine had been open to the Israelites. In other words, the first Israelites had already returned back to Jerusalem. This account does not take place during the captivity. It's after the captivity. In other words, Mordecai's grandfather and father could have gone back to Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't have extreme bearing upon the story, but it just lets you know that the setting is that they could go back to Jerusalem, but they decided to stay in Persia. I just had never considered that before. So, but the captivity has ended. Mordecai's family chose, because I said it was, this would have been back when his grandfather made the decision to stay in Persia. The scriptures, as I said, don't mention whether he had a wife or children. And some commentators believe that Mordecai could have even been a eunuch, since he had access to the court of women. But Mordecai brought up Hadassah, or Esther. He provided for her, taught her, and cared for her, all while not having a family of his own. That's a special man. He took her and cared for her as his own child. The word in the Hebrew for brought up means to build up or to support, to foster as a parent or to nurse, to nurture one, to render or to be firm or faithful. And so that's what Mordecai provided for Esther. How close is that to the heart of God? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 reads, speaking of God, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. I wish that every Christian, this is an Old Testament scripture, but I wish every Christian today that we could live that, just that one scripture out right there. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, he's a father to the fatherless. That's what Daniel quoted earlier. He's a father to the fatherless. And I remember my father dying when I was 4 years old, reaching up in the casket, touching my father's face and saying, why Daddy Cole? That's the only memory I have of my father, is touching his cold face. And I remember being fatherless. And I also remember being the day that I got saved. Oh, Dabusha. Hey, I felt the arms of a father that I never knew. I never knew God was a father. No one ever told that to me. I heard, don't cross him. He's mean. He's, you know, and I was growing up, you better listen to what he say. He'll get you. You know, that was what, but no, I come to find out he's a father to the fatherless. And I pray this scripture over many people when I find out that they haven't had a father. I say, oh God, well, all they need to do is meet my father. Oh boy. Cause he gonna fix that. Okay, he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. Now, God inspired the psalmist to write that so that we might know that about God. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Psalm 146, verse 9 says, the Lord watches over the strangers. Get that in your mind. He watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. He relieves the fatherless and widow. And then in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, after those three scriptures, and there's many more that talks about the heart of God towards the fatherless, Isaiah says, prophesies this to the children of Israel, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Plead for the widow. Defend the fatherless. Do you know one of the reasons why Israel went into 70 years of captivity to begin with? One of the reasons was because they wouldn't defend the fatherless. That was one of the reasons. Of course, there were many. They oppressed the widow. They would take the widow's pledge and wouldn't give it back to the widow who needed it. And so, in light of those scriptures, we ask the question, what was Mordecai doing when he took Esther and brought her up as his own daughter? He was simply doing for Esther what was in the heart of God for Esther. He was simply doing for Esther what was in the heart of God for Esther. I remember when I was 20 years old, 20, no, I was 25 at least. And I started cleaning carpet the way I am now. And many times with many of my customers, after I've known them a year or so, we make the switch. I go in and we have a customer relationship. And then later, like my one customer who was at my wedding, we make the switch and we have a personal relationship. And so there's this one customer, the one who was at our wedding, hun. She had children, but the father wasn't I don't know what happened. I can't remember what the father, because we've been married 26 years, and that was 26 years ago. I don't know what happened to the father. But the son, she had a daughter, teenage daughter. She had a younger son. He was about 9 or 10. Whenever I would come over to clean the carpet, this kid was always around me. You know, he was just like on my heels. And I noticed it, and I looked into the Big Brother program and all that type of thing. And finally, I asked the woman, I said, I can't even remember the child's name. Isn't that something? 26 years ago, do something to you. But anyhow, I said, I said, you think your son might like to go fishing? She says, oh, Pat, he would love to go fishing. He'll bring his friends and all this. So I took him, told my mother, I said, Mama, what do you think? And my mother's like, now be careful, son, you know how people are. You know, I'm like, yeah, I hear you. But I went out and got him and took him to a local pond, and man, we put the poles, we dropped the hook, and when they caught fish, and I took pictures, they holding up the fish, and they all excited and everything, and why was that going on? Because the spirit in us, yes. Come on, yes. It says to defend the fatherless and reach out and care for those who don't have a father figure in their life. So when we do what God is doing, we find ourselves in the right place. What does God do for the fathers? Well, he relieves them. Guess what? When we do what he does, we're going to find ourselves in a good place. So what God is doing, we should go out and do. Amen? If he relieves the fatherless, we ought to go out and do the same. Failing to obey God with regard to the fatherless, as I said, it was one of the many things that led the children of Israel into a 70-year captivity. Listen to what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah 22, he says, thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and there speak this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, you who sit on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. So Jeremiah was prophesying for years. Israel wouldn't listen. So what happened? Jeremiah was there when they went into captivity, because Jeremiah went with them. Hello? He prophesied while they were in captivity. And the Lord said, and if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, he says, many nations will pass by this city, and everyone will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord done so to this great city? Then they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worship other gods and serve them. So Mordecai was taking a fatherless young lady. I read all that to say this, was that to show you the spirit of the father, the spirit of God working in Mordecai. Okay, because this is after the captivity, and hopefully Israel has learned, and Mordecai is definitely showing that he's obeying the word of the Lord, which is to relieve the fatherless. So this young lady, she loses her mother and her father. Well, what do we learn from Mordecai? And this was important for me. We learned this, that you don't have to have a wife or children in order to father someone. Can I say it again? I think I'm going to say it again. You don't have to have a wife or children in order to father someone. That's what Mordecai teaches us. Mordecai didn't look around and says, well, you know, I'm pretty handicapped. I don't have no experience with this. I don't have a woman. I can't nurture her. I don't have any children. I don't know how to act. But Mordecai had the word of God. Yes, he did. And God said, take care of the father. God said in Psalm 68, I am a father to the fatherless. Says, do you know how to care for someone? Do you know how to love? Do you know how to be there for someone? Do you know how to be faithful? I can be all those things. Okay, then when you can father somebody. Hello? That's lesson number one. You just need a father's heart. You just need a father's heart. Mordecai treated Esther as his own daughter, which means he sacrificed for her. Amen. Hello? Amen. Any parent who hasn't sacrificed for your child, I would question the degree to which you parented that child. Because as a parent, just parent equals, you should, in the kingdom anyhow, sacrifice. Just look at what the father did for his children. He did all that he knew to do to provide a safe home for her to grow into a young woman, into the young woman she would become. I won't go there. So the question is, who is in our path today that we can bring up and take under our wing? Who's in our path? Because, you know, for me, 26 years ago, there was a 9-year-old boy who just wanted to be around a man. Hello. Even further back than that, I'll never forget Jesus. How God sometimes, he takes you back to a place where you know in order to speak to you. And so where I grew up when I was 9 years old, 7 years old, years ago, 30 some years ago, I was in that exact same neighborhood on my hands and knees, cleaning the carpet, roaches running across the carpet. I wasn't fazed at all. I know all about that. Run on, boy. And roaches running across the carpet. And a little boy, I'm on my hands and knees getting dirt out the carpet, and a little boy had it locked around my leg, had his hands, he has to be 3 years old. He had a lock arm in my leg, and a little girl had me in a headlock. She was like 5. She was literally wrapped around my neck. We up in the ghetto. And these children said, we got a man up in this house. We ain't letting him go. And I'm cleaning, and the roaches running everywhere. And I'm like, I'm right at home. And while I'm down there working on this, the Holy Ghost said to me, never forget where I brought you from. Don't ever forget where I brought you from. Well, I'll never forget that as long as I live. And while I was down there, I'm praying for these children. I'm praying because it was like I was in my house. It was like I was that little boy, because that was the exact same situation we was when my father died. My mother didn't have anything. We're trying to make it. Fatherless. So who's in our path today that we can bring up and take under our wing? I tell you, the answer to that question is more than you can care for. Hello? More than you can care. Listen, I'm in people's homes all over the place, and I run into situations. Woo! Run into all kinds of situations. But not only did Mordecai bring her up, not only did he take her as his own, but he charged her or commanded her, right? Because when you go to father someone, you not only provide for them, you not only care for them, you not only meet all their needs, but you're going to provide some instruction. Hello? And again, fathers, you know, this is our place in the home. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 10, the scripture reads, Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her or commanded her not to reveal it. Some people question why he said not to reveal, because obviously captivity was over. The Jews, most of the Jews, some of the Jews would have gone back to Jerusalem. But in my mind, as I think about it, one could think that they could have been a discriminated people. Having been under captivity by the Persians, he could have said, hey, don't be going around saying you're a Jew. Just keep that to yourself. Be that as it may, verse 11 says, and every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. And so at this point, after they looked for beautiful young women to prepare for the king to meet the king, Esther was taken in. She's in the women's quarters. And Mordecai, I like this, he paced in front of the court of the women's quarters every day. Every day. Like, that's a parent. That's a parent who's concerned. That's a father who's concerned about what is happening to this child who is under his care. And he did it to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. In other words, you don't see Mordecai consumed with what was happening to him. It didn't say he was out there brushing his donkey, see, which would be polishing his Lexus. Okay, here's it. Just want to make sure you get the, you know. He wasn't out there, you know, rubbing his horse's hoofs And he wasn't out there consumed with himself, but every day he was pacing back and forth to find out, how is Esther doing? Fathers, that's a lesson for us. That every day, I see, oh my goodness, look here. Now you up in here, now I got to say something. See? See? Now my man Cedric, he's here. And I just got to say, that I'm so blessed to see a young man who is enjoying his son. This man, oh, it just blesses my heart. It just, when I see a picture of Franklin, when I see a picture of Cedric playing with Frank, I just get, as you know, God made us in his image. Okay. So if something like that blesses me, I kind of believe that it blesses him. Amen. We know it starts the other way around, right? What blesses him should bless us, right? But it goes both ways. And so this man, Mordecai, was not concerned with himself. He was not consumed with himself. He was consumed with caring for this young lady who had lost her father and her mother. And so Mordecai commanded Esther in what not to do. Fathers, those within our care need to hear from us what not to do as well as what to do. Hello. Take the prophets of the Lord, for example. The Old Testament is full of the telling them, you know, don't do this. Right? Then they tell them what to do. But he's always telling them, like I just read to you, take care of the widow, take care of the fatherless, don't reject the stranger. And so he's God, our Father, is always instructing us. Even in your life and my life now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And if you're a Christian, you can never make this statement in truth. God never speaks to me. He never lets me know where he is. Hello. I'm sorry. You must not be a Christian, because he's constantly speaking to us and letting us know his heart. Right. So but a little bit further in what it means to command or to charge someone, it takes relationship to do that. It takes relationship. Hello. In order for someone to receive a command from you, it takes a relationship. You ever heard this saying, never drive a 10-ton truck across a 2-ton bridge? You ever heard that saying? Okay. Do you know what that saying means? Okay. Well, for those who don't know what it means, trying to drive a 10-ton truck across a 2-ton bridge. If you talk for a living, you're going to get your foot in your mouth. That's just the way it is. But what it means simply is this. The bridge has to be heavy enough to sustain what you're about to drive across it. And so if you're about to tell someone something that's so heavy that you don't know how they're going to receive, you got to have enough relationship. The person has got to know how much you care about them in order for you to say what you need to say. And if they don't know that, then you need to keep your mouth shut. Why? Because the bridge is going to collapse upon you driving across that truth you're trying to get to them. Right? And so, relationship. It takes relationship. Mordecai's care of Esther through the years provided the foundation for which Mordecai could then command her. His care, his provision, his love, his empathy, all of what he poured into her provided the foundation for her then to say, like when I think about, you know, I think about my children, you know, and I think about my daughter, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, when my daughter, we good enough. Yeah, I can say, yeah, we good enough that if she brought some dude. Hold on. We good enough that if she brought some fella home, And I say, and he gone. She said, what you say? I said, baby, don't do crazy. I said, baby, don't do crazy. We good enough that she could hear that. She could hear that. You know what I'm saying? Now, there are some folks, you can't do that. You just grin and bear it. How they say? You just, you know, you just, I say that because, you know, we let worship for the first church. And Pastor Dean come in and he said, well, he said, he didn't look too good. Pastor Dean's daughter is 16 years old. Pastor Dean come in and says, my daughter's bringing her boyfriend to church today. He says, I ain't doing too good. And, man, we laughed. Oh, my goodness. We had a time. Anyhow, so we met the young man and everything. I'm not telling tales out of school. He told, you know, he made jokes. He made jokes with the guy and everything. And we met him and everything. And I just said to Dean, you know, well, how many knuckles we going to give him is all, you know. Coming up in here, 16 years old. You know, good heavens. You know, 16. Now, if my daughter was 16 and we were standing here and she, I'd be like, wait a second. 23, that's different. Okay. So, all right. Where was I? So, fathers, my point with this second lesson is that we need to maintain good relationships with our children. We need to maintain good relationships with our children as best we can. That's what Mordecai teaches us. The first thing he taught us was you don't have to be a father. You don't have to have a wife or children in order to father someone. The second thing he teaches us is that we need to maintain good relationships with our children in order that we can speak into their life. Because the time's going to come where they're going to have to hear something from you that they might not necessarily want to hear. But they need to know that when you speak it, that you love them. That I love you, that'll never change. But let me talk to you about this. And then you lay it out and give it to them. And then, because they're growing and maturing and they have to make decisions. And if there's one thing I preach at my house is this. Every decision you make, you have to live with it. Is that the truth? That's the truth. Hey, to me, hey, people say, hey, amen out there, but we should be screaming from the rooftop. You got that right, brother. Amen. Because we all living with, we all where we are now because of decisions that we made. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that we're making. Jeremiah 35, I mentioned this a couple sermons ago, I guess. The Rechabites. The Rechabites in Jeremiah 35. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I want you to get the sons of Rachab, the Rechabites, and get them, bring them into the house of the Lord and set wine before them and tell them to drink wine. And so Jeremiah does, he calls this family together, gets all the men there and has them at this place in the temple. And Jeremiah 35:5, he says, Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabite bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. They're talking to Jeremiah the prophet. They said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine. Now here is a family of men who, being told by the prophet Jonah, but what's interesting is if you paid attention, is that Jonah said, drink wine. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. Right. He just said, drink wine. Okay. Because the Lord wasn't commanding him to drink wine. He was providing an example. Right. And so, but they came back at Jeremiah and said, no, our father commanded us not to drink wine. and a whole bunch of other things. And thus they said, we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses, et cetera, et cetera. But they obeyed the command of their father. And they were blessed because of it. So fathers, we have much to impart, much to give, much to say, much to command to the lives of our children. Because we only get to do this thing once. And when you get older, you look back and you say, oh, Lord, if I had it to do all over, I wish I knew then what I know now. But you don't get to go back and do it over again. So that's why we must learn from those who have gone before us. So we have to learn from our fathers so that we can get it right the first time. Woo! I'm getting blessed. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Good. Okay. So in Esther 2:20, it reads, now Esther had not revealed her family and her people just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. So her obedience went from childhood into adulthood. That's why we want to teach the children when they're young. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he shall go. When he's old, he won't depart from it, right? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says that the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Man, you read the scriptures, it shows you how to live this life, right? Esther chapter 4, verse 1 says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, so now, this is a couple chapters later, Haman now has gotten the decree signed, they're going to kill all the Jews on a certain day. They published the decree all throughout the palace of Shushan. And verse 1 says, Mordecai learned all that happened. He tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. So here now, Mordecai is responding to the fact that me and all my people in Shushan, and not only in Shushan, but this is supposed to happen throughout all the kingdom. Me and my people are going to be annihilated. We're going to be murdered. And Mordecai tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth, and he goes out wailing into the midst of the city. Well, verse 4 says, so Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. So she sent garments to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he would not accept them. I like this because, you know, Mordecai's out there. Oh, have you ever seen people in the Middle East wail? I mean, America know nothing about, we don't wail here. We just try to keep a stiff upper lip. You know, we try and keep it. Are you serious, dude? We are hurting. Okay. Over there, they wail. And Mordecai's out there flailing and wailing and carrying on. And Esther's the queen now. And Esther goes, Mordecai, dispense with this. You know, she sends out the eunuchs and says, Mordecai, you can't be acting like this. Here, take the sackcloth off. Put on the clothes. We're respectable people now. I'm the queen. So she sends out the eunuchs and sent garments to clothe Mordecai. She said, take off this sackcloth and put on some decent clothes. Mordecai would not listen to her. She's the queen. But Mordecai would not listen to her. Why? Because he's still in a fatherly role. And this was no time to take off the sackcloth. I like how, you know, Mordecai, he's raised her, he's commanded her, and he's, at this point, all that Esther has asked of Mordecai, he has still said no. Why? Because she still needed to be led. She still needed to be led. She still needed to be guided, even though she's queen. And so, Mordecai tells the eunuchs all that's happened, and Mordecai says in verse 7, Esther 4:7, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan. that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. So Mordecai continues. Not only did he not take the clothes, he didn't take off his sackcloth. He's still wearing, but he now tells Esther, the queen, he says, now listen. He told through the eunuch, he says, now you need, this is what needs to happen. You need to go on to the king and you need to plead for all of us who are going to die in about a year. It's about a year out that this was going to happen. He says, you need to go before the king and plead for us and for the Jewish people throughout the whole kingdom. Verse 10, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. So this is what she said. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called has but one law. Put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai's Esther's words. Now what's happening here? Mordecai says you need to go into the king to save your people. Esther says, I haven't been called. Esther lost view of all the people, the Jews. She said, wait a second, Mordecai. Now what you're talking about is me. I haven't been called. Now with Esther, the big concern is, I haven't been called. Okay? Mordecai's concern is, the Jews about to die. Esther's concern is, me. She's concerned with, and so the third lesson that Mordecai teaches us is that the father, okay, the father figure, biological father, what have you, there comes a place in a child's life when she or he will need to be called to a place of courage. Called to a place of self-sacrifice. Called to a cause that is greater than themselves. And they have to, and they must be called by you. Mordecai raised her, brought her up, provided for her, cared for her in every way he knew how. The last thing he did for her was to call her to a place of courage and a place of self-sacrifice. Now, most of us won't be called to what Esther was called for, right? And everyone said, whew, you know, thank you, Jesus. Okay, but it is for that very exact reason that oftentimes we'll miss it. Because we'll be raising up a child but won't sacrifice ourselves for that child. And then that child will grow up to be a hellion. And I just got finished talking to Pastor Dean about a pastor, great pastor, gifted out of this world. God used, just blow your mind. But all of his children, just, it's like 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli the priest, like Samuel's children. And I said to them, which would you rather have? Samuel was a prophet whose every word, not one word he prophesied was false. Every word he prophesied came to pass. Which would you rather have? Yet, when Samuel was older, the people said to him, up and make us leaders because your sons are not like you. So we can't have them ruling over us. Would you make us a leader? Which spoke to Samuel's parenting. Which would you rather have? A prophetic ministry where everything you said came to pass? Or would you like to have your children serve God and glorify him with their lives? You choose. That's what the Bible puts before us. Look, the ministry. What's the ministry? It's being obedient to God with your talents and giftings and abilities. All of us have ministries. We like to put T.D. Jakes up on a pedestal and all the rest of them. We put up all these pastors on pedestal. Wrong. That's just one ministry. Preaching, they're preaching. It's one ministry. This is one ministry. Every last one of us has multiple ministry giftings that we are to use. Well, what do? We exalt this person over here. Don't ever exalt, because this ain't nothing to exalt, please. This ain't nothing to exalt, man. Flesh will fail you every time. Come on. But we're all to glorify God with our giftings, right? But beyond that, listen, you can have a ministry, but if you don't raise your family will cast a shadow on the ministry. Okay? The ministry won't do that with your family. Which is greater? The family. This is why we're preaching this message. Okay? When President Bush II, George W., when he left office, they said to him, "Aren't you going to miss this?" He said, "No." He said, "The greatest title I have is that of father." Man, I about wanted to bust. I was like, that blessed me so much. I said, "Go ahead, President Bush." That's right. And you see him playing with Michelle Obama, treating her like she's his daughter. When they passing candies and playing and all of that, it's just precious to me. Anyhow, so Mordecai, he had to call Esther up. In other words, he gave her a reason for why she was where she was at that time. There are times, fathers, where we have to speak into the lives of our children so that they can see why they are where they are. Because you know the scripture for which the whole book of Esther is known for. Verse 13 says, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place.'" Interesting. "But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" It was the father who looked at Esther's life and understood that she was in the kingdom for a certain time. Esther couldn't see it. It took a father to see it. That's why we're speaking to these young people over here, see? That's why we pray for them. And that's why, Diane had them over to her house. Just speaking into their life. Just spending time with them. Why? Because in order to get a message across, you got to spend time with people. It's called relationship. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, really? Got to spend time with people. That's relationship. And so, but it was Mordecai with the heart of a father who raised her. And this is basically what he was saying to her. Mordecai was confident that God would deliver the Jews because he said it. He said, deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. His concern was that Esther would miss her God-given opportunity to be involved in that deliverance. His concern, he knew that deliverance was coming. He said, God's going to do it. He says, but it could be that you were brought to the kingdom for this particular time. In other words, Esther, don't miss the opportunity that God is giving you to be involved in his deliverance. Let me ask you a question. Does God deliver people today? Yes, he does. Does he want to use us? Yes, he does. Does he have to use us? No, he doesn't. That's what Mordecai is trying to communicate to Esther. But it's taking the heart of a father to get it across to her. You see, God wants to use every last one of us in here to do his work today, tomorrow, the next day, every last one of us. It is up to us if we're going to be involved. You say, well, why? Well, Depending on the level of sacrifice we're willing to give, Esther, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself. Are you willing to give yourself, Esther? Now, remember, Esther's only internally, she's dealing with this. I'm queen. I'm beautiful. I'm lovely. Can't mean me. This man hasn't called me. I don't want to die. No, we don't want to die either. Jesus said, if any man follow me, he's going to have to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Listen, if you don't want to die, I'm sorry. You following the wrong Lord, because what it means to be a Christian is to die to yourself. Period. That's what it means. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Let me back up. No, I don't back it up. John's mother come to Jesus and said, I want my sons to sit on the left and right. Jesus said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to take? They said, oh, yeah. He said, you definitely will be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to have. And all of the apostles died serving Jesus. That's a whole nother message. And so, does God deliver people today? Yes, he does. Does he want to use us? Yes, he does. Does he have to use us? No, he doesn't. The choice is ours. And we need to know that. The choice is ours. And we need to know that. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. The three Hebrew boys says, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you in this manner. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But if he doesn't, where is that in our generation? Where is that? I'm talking my generation, then following. Where is that? God, we need that. If I perish, beloved, we all going to perish. It's just, are we going to perish serving Jesus? Or are we going to perish serving? Hello. And so it's the father speaking through the father to the children. It's the father speaking through Mordecai to this child, to this young lady. And she gets the message. I want to encourage every man that there are hearts and lives of young people that need to be poured into so that they can realize the great purpose for which God made them. What if Mordecai was not there and Esther's queen? Does she go into the king? I don't think so. She already told him. He said, ho, he ain't called me. He don't want to see me. And he ain't going to see me. Because she's thinking, I'm going to let this one out. Man, you ain't know. He don't want to see me and he ain't going to see me. But Mordecai gave her the word of the Lord. Mordecai gave her the motivation that she needed in order to not see herself and to see the larger picture for which God had brought her to the kingdom. May we father a generation to greatness is my prayer. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we worship you and we bless you today. And we thank you, O God, that you have called all of us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Father, I pray that the eyes of all of your children, we your children, would be opened and that we would see, oh God, where you intend to bring deliverance, where your hand is moving, what your plan is, that we might run into the purpose of God, that we might give ourselves freely as Peter said about David, that he served the purpose of God in his own generation and then he fell asleep. Father, I pray that we would fulfill all of your desire and all of your purpose, oh God, that when we leave this world, that we would leave empty of the purpose of God because we would have fulfilled it all in your own time and in your own way. I bless every father here, and I thank you, oh God, for the voice that you've given them. I thank you for the platform. I thank you for the purpose, and I thank you, oh God, Lord, for the revelation that each of us will need in order to speak truth and to command and to charge our children in the right season with the word of God. I bless all your people now and pray that your word would have free course in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen, amen, amen and amen.